Hi, this is Trevor Story, Colorado Rockies. You're listening to Faith on the Field show.
They compete hard on the field and play to win, but in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. I hope you've enjoyed watching our first three episodes on the FISM TV network. And as always, listening on 610 ESPN Philadelphia, we've had Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, tight end Zach Ertz, and linebacker Jordan Hicks. And continuing our first month look at the defending Super Bowl champions, our guest this week is Carson Wentz. You guys know Carson a little bit, huh?
Know him a little bit, yeah.
Got a little familiarity with Carson Wentz there. We've had an opportunity to get together with Carson a few times.
Yep.
Some of us more than others.
Yeah.
And it's
privilege.
We're going to do a lot with Carson Wentz today.
Yeah, you know, it should have been MVP last year.
Great.
You know, but the people that get to know him a little bit more realize there was a lot more than just his performance in the field that made him an all-star, especially in a lot of people's eyes, for how he treated the community, how he responded to adversity. And so it's a great story. So he's
definitely MVP already. I mean, I think you're right, Doug. For me, it's so much more than just what he does on the field. He's amazing on the field. Coming from a football background, quarterback background, watching him is always a treat because how he handles the line of scrimmage, how he handles, the whole quarterbacking position is amazing, but how he handles himself as a man. I think for me, one of the greatest things about Carson is that I have a 22-year-old, and I am just glad that my son Jake can look at a man like that and say, that's the kind of man I'd like to be like. Not just a player, but a man I'd like to be like.
More of his character came through his adversity than how he handled success.
Agreed.
Right, and I know that was a challenge to him and something that he embraced, even though it still hurt and it was still a struggle, especially in the very beginning, but to accept the circumstances that was dealt to him and then come out and say, hey, you know what, I can use this to represent Christ and have a testimony through this time.
Absolutely.
Maybe even more impactful than anything else he did.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rob, you know, what's the word saying? Romans 8 says, God works all things together for our good. Doesn't always feel good, smell good, taste good, but it really is our good. And I think there's some things that people wouldn't have seen about him and actually seen about the team and actually seen about God. Because I think in your book, you actually laid that out really well, Rob. You know, the big picture is, you know, if the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl last year with Carson being the MVP and the personality he has, he would have gotten a lot of credit for that. And when you start removing Carson, Jordan Hicks, Chris Maragos, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, you start removing some of all those key pieces, and God then steps to the forefront about what really was going on. And it's an amazing thing. God worked all things out for all of their good.
It's incredible how that all played out, and we'll get into some of those things a little bit later on. By the way, since you mentioned the book Birds of Prey, Carson Wentz wrote the foreword for that book. It is now available everywhere, including there's 103 Acme markets in Philadelphia and New Jersey. There's 44 Giant stores. Signed copies will be available soon online at faithonthefieldshow.com. I have a couple book signings coming up as well. We could take a conversation with Carson really and discuss several different topics, but what I want to emphasize today is being happy for other people. Celebrating the success of a colleague, of a friend, of a relative, of a coworker, or a teammate in Carson Wentz's case. And the reason we're going to go there today is pretty simple. Carson Wentz, as we mentioned, went down last season with a season-ending injury in week 14, tore his LCL, tore his ACL. It was disappointing for him. It was devastating for him. But he wasn't only a great teammate. He was right there helping Nick Foles in that quarterback room on the sideline and leading the cheers. In chapter 20 of my book, Birds of Prey, former Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich, who's now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, he says this about Carson. One of the greatest things about a person is when you see him celebrating somebody else's success. To be happy for Nick, who is at your position, that's the pretty cool thing about it. Of all the great things that he's done, it even more exemplifies the kind of leader that he is. And that's offensive coordinator last year, Frank Reich, and Frank is now moved on to the Indianapolis Colts. And we talked to Carson earlier this summer, and he had a quote about that where he said, it was a chance to practice what I preach and that I play for an audience of one. And it's not for myself. God closed the door on the season for me, but I know he's going to open many other doors and he's going to use me. It's human nature to want to be on that podium and be that guy. You grew up wanting to do that as a kid. To not be able to be up there, I wouldn't rather have anyone else up there than Nick. It's really a special bond that we share. So I was challenged to look at it and say, all right, Nick, it's yours. I wouldn't have rather passed it off to anybody else, knowing his faithfulness in Christ and that he was ready for that. To see his story unfold as a friend and brother in Christ, for Jesus to get the glory through Nick, and for Nick to reach more people because of it, I couldn't have asked for a better way given the circumstances. And that's an incredible thing that he said. So we're going to talk about being happy for other people. In Romans 12, verse 15, Paul tells us this: rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. So it's much easier, though, guys, for us to mourn when others are going through something bad, or mm-hmm. they need comfort, to lend a shoulder to them, to hug them, to be there for them in any way possible. We're really good at sharing empathy, but how good are we at sharing genuine joy when someone else has success? Maybe they get a job promotion, or they buy a new house, or they get a new car, or you see them getting engaged and or having a baby, whatever it is. Sometimes being truly happy, though, for another person, it becomes challenging for some people. And that's because human nature is selfish, and human nature is jealous. Human nature says, why is something good? Like, why is something good happening to that person? Well, they don't deserve it. But as Christians, we're required to die to ourselves so God can ultimately resurrect in us his character in his ways, because that's what truly living is all about. Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you just said is absolutely true, Rob. First of all, I think we have to learn to live in the moment with the person, engage in the moment. Jesus was so good at it constantly. It didn't matter what circumstance that the person found themselves in. He actually engaged with them in that moment. And it really does come from a security in who we are in Christ. Because we'll have a tendency never to really rejoice with someone if you feel like they are robbing something from you. And so that's why we get this big one-upmanship, right? So you tell a story about something that happened to you, and then someone says, oh, well, let me tell you what I had four wisdom teeth. I had seven wisdom teeth. Right? There's always the one-up. Because at some level, we feel by giving away praise, we're actually losing something in ourselves. And that's when you have to come back and say, but my praise isn't from others. The praise I live for, and this is where Carson comes back to it. You have to settle in your heart. The praise that I desire and the praise that gives me worth can never come from another human being. The praise that gives me worth can only come from an audience of one.
And you mentioned in there the security aspect Absolutely. Of that, because a lot of that comes from insecurity. If something good happens to someone and you feel like, oh, they don't deserve it, like, that's a negative attitude. Yeah. That's a negative. Yep. Like, why don't they? What makes you more worthy in your eyes or more deserving than someone else of having something good for them? And I think a lot of people don't, in any profession, they don't realize there's enough good to go around.
Yeah, like, but we value, and we've talked about this before, we find our value based off of position, items that we possess, position, possessions, right? So in those moments when someone gets more than we do, it translates that we are less than they are, less than what we could be. And so that's why, you know, in the Ten Commandments is probably the one that we forget the easiest. You know, that last one, thou shalt not covet, you know, what thy neighbor has. And it's because you're looking for something to receive from something from them that only God should give.
It's a great topic that we've discussed in many shows in the past, is where's your identity?
Yeah.
And when those tough times come, Carson losing his role on the team, basically as a starting quarterback, as the MVP of the NFL, to be reduced to a backup role to where he's encouraging Nick. But, you know, it really only takes one person in that relationship to really change the tide. If you're the person that gets the promotion, if you handle it in a humble way and are genuine about being thankful for it and thank the people that helped you get there, I think that sets a tone where it's hard. Somebody says, it's hard for me to be jealous of that person because they are so humble,
right?
As opposed to shove it in somebody else's face. On the other end, to go up to somebody and say, hey, congratulations. I know you've worked really hard to get that promotion. I'm really happy for you. Wish it was me, but, you know, like, you deserve it too. And I think you're helping set the tone for how somebody's going to respond to you.
Correct.
In that situation. So one thing that we talk about with our kids too is that somebody else's reaction isn't your choice, right? Like, I can only handle my reactions to a situation regardless of how you respond to it, right? If you respond in anger or you respond in jealousy, I can't control that. I can only respond what I do in that situation, hopefully for the best.
Yep.
Be humble, be transparent, and be happy for other people can really set the tone.
No, I think you're right. We're only responsible for our character in any given situation, not someone else's response to our character in any situation.
And nowadays, we live in a social media age where everybody's always flaunting their success. They're putting their success out there. I mean, there are people who will...
Instagram's not real?
Yeah.
That Instagram life's not real?
There's people who put all their negative stuff and all this whatever sadness is going on and they're depressed and all that stuff. They put it on their social media. But a lot of the times, it's the picture perfect. It's the promotion. It's the new car. It's whatever great is happening. The meal that looks so good. It's so much of that. And then you look at it and go, well, why is it so hard sometimes? Just click like. Give them what they're asking for. Click the like and move on. Like, they're putting it out there. They want people. Just hit the button. Make them happy. Let them see it and move on. And sometimes we have difficult. Like, I've made it a point once I decided that, hey, let's go with this topic this week. I said, you know what I'm going to do? Like, usually if I'm in the bathroom or wherever I am looking at my social media, right?
Like the rest of us.
You're scrolling through. Yeah, I said, I am going to make it a point this week to try and like as much as things as possible. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm also going to, on Twitter, I'm going to try and retweet stuff that has nothing to do with me, that doesn't promote me, that promotes somebody else. I'm going to try and do that too, as long as it's within reason. It's not something that I don't want to be associated with or whatever it is. But it's those little things that sometimes people will take, like, if you ask them to post for you or if you ask them to do something. Like, I have a book out now, and we've talked about it ad nauseum here on this show, and there are certain people in the media who've helped me promote that, right? And there are others, you ask them to say, I will later, or I'll get to it. You know, make sure to check with me, remind me later. No, I'm not going to remind you again. Mm-hmm. If I asked you one time, you could stop and do it. And if not, I understand. Yeah. So some people treat, like, doing something like that as if they're paying for it, as if every post or every like or every retweet, whatever it is coming from them, as if they're actually paying for it, when it's no big deal. But I try not to harp on those little things and like, you know what, I'm going to do my part for other people. I'm going to promote their stuff. I'm going to share their stuff, because you see it. You see it when it happens to you. So that's kind of like the age we live in now, where it's not just about what you're doing behind closed doors. It's right there. People are putting it out there, and they want you to look at it. They want you to appreciate it. They want you to see it. And hey, if it makes them feel happy, why not? Now, when we're talking about Carson and in regards to the injury, I've heard some people say it's easy, right? It's easy for him to be okay with it because he's secure, right? We talk about security. Yeah. He's secure enough in his status on the team. Nick Foles stood there and said, this is Carson's team.
This is the NFL. That stands for not for long. Bro, there's no security out there. One more knee tweak, and he's out for 6 more months? You think everyone's going to be saying, but it's still his team? Nick goes on and wins another MVP? This is the NFL.
Hey, Nick Foles starts the season, and we still have to see how that shakes out, and they win their first 3 games, and they're 3-0, and Nick Foles has 9 touchdowns and no interceptions. Mm-hmm. Do you think Doug Peterson's going to have an easy decision? No matter how much Nick Foles said, this is Carson's team, I'm only here as the starter until he's healthy to take over. But if Nick Foles, and as bad as his preseason was, and people are making way too much out of it.
It's preseason.
Who cares about preseason football? Yeah, totally. But if he goes out there when it counts, now, and coming off the NFC Championship, coming off the MVP in the Super Bowl, outplaying Tom Brady on the greatest stage and in front of millions and millions of people to win that Super Bowl, hoist that trophy, and then he starts the next season and has tremendous success, it's going to be difficult for Coach Peterson. No matter how much this is Carson's team, and he's the face of the franchise, and he's got the contract, and he banked $17 million a signing bonus, and he's got all that. It comes down to what's happening right now, and it's going to be difficult. So for those who look at it and say, yeah, he's got the security, well, like you say, it's the NFL.
I mean, there's a certain level of security, and I do think that decision would be hard if they're 3-0 and Nick's doing really well. Let me set another scenario. They pull Nick after three games. Carson plays. And Nick had 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. Carson goes out in the first 3 games and struggles.
Mm-hmm. Which could happen coming
right?
up.
Right? Absolutely. Which would be a normal response to, to injury coming back or not playing. So that decision now gets a whole lot harder. And the security that we are talking about becomes a whole lot less. So I do think it's easy for people to say, to marginalize people's response of generosity. And I think that's exactly what people are doing when people do that to Carson. Yeah, but he's secure. He has security in the bank. He has security on the team, so he could say that. You're marginalizing his generosity. His response is that response because that's who he is. And generosity comes out of of the heart of a human. He didn't just say the right things. And I think that's what we do in sports. We're so used to coach speak, player speak, that when someone actually does say something that reflects that a bit, we marginalize it.
And it's not only marginalizing it, it's showing that you really don't understand him. Correct. You really don't know him.
Correct.
So we're coming from a position of, you know him pretty well. You're his pastor.
Yeah.
He wrote the foreword for my book. I've covered him for his 2 years here. I know him pretty well. He walks his talk.
Absolutely.
He's not putting that out there. He's not saying these things that he's saying because he knows it's the right thing to say.
Correct.
And that's one thing because, people there are a lot of athletes who are well-versed in how to handle the media, how to say what they need to say. Carson believes it.
Yes.
That's he walks his talk, and we've talked about that often. He walks his talk. Doug, you represent more of the Philly fan, okay?
That's right.
In that scenario that Pastor Kyle just brought up, where Carson goes out there, maybe Nick does fantastic and Doug makes that tough decision because he has to, Coach Peterson, and he makes that tough decision and he puts Carson Wentz in there. Now, I know you wouldn't do it, but how do you think fans would react if his first game is 3 interceptions? How long before they boo?
In this city right now, I think Carson probably gets a pass.
For how many games?
That's the big question.
This is still Philly.
Is the big question. And the team is poised. I mean, they added some great free agents. They brought a lot of guys back. And
Agreed.
So they should be one of the top five, to be, for the Super Bowl again, for the playoffs, barring injuries for other teams also. But no matter what happens, Doug Peterson has to make decisions. And regardless of what decision he makes, Nick, Carson, everybody else on the team has to accept that. Right, and so it really falls onto Doug's shoulders to make those decisions, regardless of whether the fans agree with
Absolutely.
It, whether Carson agrees with it, or Nick, allowed with medical staff to make a good decision on where Carson is.
Yep.
But it all comes down to accepting the decisions and the opportunities that are placed in front of you. I think the Philly fans probably have a little bit harder time with that because they think that they know better in some situations, and maybe some of them do. But it's an interesting discussion, but there's so many open-ended questions regarding it, and there is a heightened level. I just said we, right? But
it's okay.
The Eagles just won the Super Bowl. And so they want to go back and repeat to have the most successful season possible, which is the best case scenario. Nick's performance in the preseason didn't really lead to some more confidence. Is he the Super Bowl Nick Foles, or is he, you know, going to throw a lot of interceptions.
That's why now's the ideal time for Coach Peterson to, if Carson gets medically cleared and he's ready to go out there and he starts week one, it makes all the sense in the world, because now you avoid that situation, you avoid that scenario. Later on in the show, we're going to get your expertise as an athletic trainer on tearing an ACL, tearing an LCL, trying to come back within a 9-month window. No two athletes are alike, no two knees are similar, so it's different for everybody. When we come back, we'll hear from Carson Wentz. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.com.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever audiobooks are sold. Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. In June, I had the honor to interview Carson Wentz before his inaugural Audience of One Foundation charity softball game at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. Here is that interview. Carson, I know the AO1 Foundation and starting it was something that was on your heart for a long period of time. You did it a lot faster than a lot of players do right after your rookie season. What does it mean to you to be able to use the platform that you've been blessed with to give back in this way?
Yeah, it means the world to me, honestly. It's something, you know, coming into the league, I had in my heart, you know, because of my faith and because of just Jesus's model of serving people, I knew I wanted to serve. I wanted to give back, and I've been fortunate enough to have a platform as with the NFL and in Philadelphia, and a lot of eyes and a lot of attention on us as athletes. So I want to direct that to a bigger purpose, you know, and to help and give back. And did it obviously pretty quickly after the first year, but I don't regret it at all. So it hasn't even been a year yet, and then we've been able to accomplish so many amazing things, and God's just tremendously blessed it already. And we just see His hand moving in so many different communities because of starting the foundation and just everyone's generous support. And it's honestly, it's so humbling and overwhelming, and you know, I truly believe it's just getting started.
Carson, I know you've been to Haiti twice now on mission trips. You went last year with Jordan Matthews, this year with Zach Ertz, Nate Sudfeld, and Rashard Davis. First, tell me how going to Haiti really changed your perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah, going to Haiti was unbelievable. You know, I knew in college, I always wanted to go on mission trips, but just with football and school and everything, there's just not a lot of time. And so the first offseason, I was able to go, and just for a couple days, you know, just got a chance to go for a couple days with the local church here that we go to, and just eyes were open. You know, eyes were open. You got to see how they lived. You got to see interact with the people. You got to see real community and community engagement and how they care for each other, and how joyful they were, even though they didn't have really much of anything. And just completely kind of culture shock. And it was just really convicting for me to see how much we have and how poor our communities can be in relationships, even though we might be wealthy in material things, and just kind of put things in perspective. And just really just grown to have a heart for those people down there. And not only are we able to help them out, but we learn so much about ourselves and grow so much as people when we're down there interacting with them.
And now you're building a sports complex down there for the kids in Haiti. Tell me a little bit about what that means, to be able to build a sports complex. What is going to mean? You've interacted with those kids. You've played soccer with those kids, probably thrown some passes to them as well. Yeah. Now to give them the sports complex, what's that like, man?
Yeah, I mean, being able to partner up with Mission of Hope in Haiti, that's the group that we went and visited, and just to see the things that they're doing and how everything's so Christ-centered has been so cool to see. And just we knew we wanted to partner with them in some way, and of course they had a sports complex kind of in thought, and we're like, we want in, you know, we want to be on board that, just because I know for me personally how sports have changed my life, how so many doors have opened up, and how just really my faith has grown through guys that have mentored me through sports and everything. And just to know that that concept can be given and provided to the people of Haiti, it'll just really change their perspective on so many things, and really just restore some dignity and some hope that, you know, they don't see things like that. A sports complex with turf fields, like they don't even know what turf is down there.
Wow.
And just the things like that. So to be able to just start raising some money to partner with Mission of Hope, to just bring some life transformation through sports down there, really gets me fired up. And what I'm most excited about is to be able to go back. You know, be able to go back and actually hands-on, tangibly be there and see the impact it's making, hopefully year in and year out.
To be able to go back and take more teammates with you, you go with one, then you take a couple more. So, and we talk a lot about the brotherhood on this Eagles team and how that brotherhood really helped the team last year win the Super Bowl. So many guys are coming out here for this event with you. For what does that mean to you to have all these guys supporting the things you're doing? A lot of them take on the same motto, the AO1. What is that like?
Yeah, the brotherhood we have, both our faith brotherhood on the team and just brothers in Christ, but then just the whole locker room as a whole, is so close, you know, and that's what makes it so special, winning a Super Bowl with those guys, because we all just genuinely care about each other, care about the team, and a lot of unselfish players, and it just makes everything so much more enjoyable when you go through those things together. So that's just extremely cool and extremely humbling for me to be able to see these guys to come out here tonight that are excited about it. You know, we were just talking in the locker room, guys are coming up to me talking about the softball game, want to know how's it going to be, this and that, and they're just so excited about it. And obviously they're excited to play, but I think they're just excited about, you know, the foundation, the charity work, what we've been able to do so far, and just to have that support from the guys means a lot to me.
Who you got as a favorite to win the Home Run Derby? I saw Steph Wisniewski out there taking swings. He's a big boy. If he can get a hold of it, he's going to go deep. But, I think maybe one of the defensive guys might sneak in and win that.
I don't know. I mean, Zach Ertz is probably the favorite.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's my boy, but
he's a great athlete.
I think the sleeper is Jake Elliott. I think Jake Elliott's
really?
My sleeper for the Home Run Derby. I've heard he's quite the golfer, can hit it a mile, and so I think he might surprise some people.
We talk about winning the Super Bowl. Only 8 teams have ever repeated as Super Bowl champions. This team has got we always talk about how special they are.
Yep.
What makes you guys special enough to be number 9?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just culture. The culture that we've created, the culture of excellence, the culture of team first mentality, a bunch of unselfish players. And just that camaraderie that we've built, I think, is really what took us to the next level last year. We really had that my first year as well, and just kind of started learning how to win. And, you know, I don't see why, you know, this guy can't be the limit for us going forward again. You know, we've made some offseason moves. We've lost some guys. We've added some guys. You know, I feel like our roster is extremely rock solid, and our camaraderie and our culture is still rock solid and going to just keep growing. So we have high expectations for ourselves. We know that the city has high expectations for us. We love that. But again, we got a long way to go at the same time.
I've talked to you before about hoisting that Vince Lombardi trophy, one, as a guy who was on the sideline doing everything you can to be there for Nick and for the team, and then being out there and doing it as the player, as the quarterback, as the guy. It was great last year.
Yeah.
How much more special, or how much more determined, we should say, are you to be that guy, to go out there and win it?
I think just me, how I'm wired, and really a lot of the other guys on the team, especially the guys that were hurt, injury or not, we're going to be hungry for that. You know, we always just have high expectations and expect to be there. And but I do know going through it on a personal level and not being the one on the field, not being the one playing in the game, there's a handful of us that are just kind of have that extra motivation, that extra determination to be back there. And kind of stung a little bit to not be on the field, but still exciting to be a part of it in the capacity that we were.
All right, last one for you. We see you out there throwing the passes in the OTAs and feeling good, looking good. Is there anything that you need to clear mentally more so than physically? Or have you conquered everything that you feel now you're just waiting for clearance?
Yeah, it's just a process. You know, there's the mental side of it. There's feeling comfortable with it. There's also the physical limitations that doctors put on you, and you got to just kind of trust what they're saying. So trying to stay the course. You know, it's... You know, I've said it publicly a thousand times. If I could tell you that I'd be ready week one, I would. I just don't know. It's a fluid process, and that's obviously the goal. But so far, things have been great.
Awesome, man. Thank you, Carson. Thanks, appreciate it. Take care. That was Carson Wentz. When we come back, we'll dive into that interview and take a look at a new venture between the AO1 Foundation and the Connect Church, Pastor Kyle Horner. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Within Birds of Prey, you'll discover the Eagles players' unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams that shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. In this audiobook, you'll hear insider accounts of the miracle season's most memorable moments, and you will discover a side of the Philadelphia Eagles that the world has yet to fully witness. I've also put together exclusive interviews from the players that will reveal the high stakes they faced together and their relentless reliance on faith, which gave them strength in moments of crisis and celebration alike. You can start listening to the Birds of Prey audiobook on SoundCloud, and the audiobook is available on Audible, Google Play, Kobo, and wherever audiobooks are sold.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
And we're back on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. And in that interview, Carson Wentz talked a little bit about being happy for the success of Nick Foles and being happy for, as tough as it is for him to have to be forced onto that sideline, as difficult as it is to not be part of what was happening there, he was able to find some happiness for other people. And that's our topic today, is lead the cheers. Lead the cheers for someone else. Find something, some way, be happy for other people's success, whether it's a friend, a colleague, a coworker, whatever it is. I know sometimes if you're single, it's annoying to see another engagement, right? or if you're trying to have children, some people are having difficulty trying to have children, and you know they're seeing people posting, oh, I'm pregnant, or now everybody's doing the gender reveal, and you got to see, except that one where the guy missed the balloon as it was being thrown to him, and it popped because he couldn't swing and hit it, or whatever it is. But you see these things, and sometimes you want to be negative, or you want to be cynical, or you want to be like, it's okay to be happy for other people. That God wants us to be happy for other people. Jesus said, rejoice with others, mourn with others. We always mourn. We always find a way to mourn and comfort. That's so much easier for us. But how about being happy for other people? And it's not just about saying the right things, doing the right things. God knows our heart. Yeah. So if you say, oh, I'm so happy for you, and you do that fake Hollywood kiss and you do all this fake stuff, God really knows our heart. So if externally we're happy, but internally we're jealous, internally we're like, why is that happening to him or her? Or why are they getting this promotion? Or why are they, how can they really afford to go on a vacation? Oh, how are they doing it? You hear these people saying all these different things. If internally you're feeling that way, but externally you're happy, we need to, and you could get into this a little bit, Pastor Kyle, is train ourselves, right? Train ourselves to change our pattern of thinking. And I go back to Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. ask the Lord to renew your mind.
Yeah.
So when you renew your mind, when you change your pattern of thinking, right, you can then internally be happy for someone else's success. Not just express it externally and then have those feelings inside. No, you could, it could come from within. You'd be like, yeah, I'm really happy for that person.
Yeah.
If you work on transforming and renewing your mind.
Yeah, I think I'll just say two things on that, Rob, because what you just said is brilliant. I think, one, generosity is practiced. You have to practice generosity. It's like anything else. The more that we practice it, the easier it becomes. And so because you said what is right, the human nature left unchecked by the grace of God and the goodness of God, the favor of God, knowing that it's loved, it tends to be selfish, wants to keep. We're afraid to give away. And so generosity has to be practiced. But I think the second thing that you said is true. I think a lot of times when we feel the pinch, when we say one thing outwardly, but inwardly we feel the pinch. We all feel the pinch. We just do. We have to be honest about that.
Yeah.
We may feel it at different levels, but we feel the pinch. What it should say to us is that it's a red flag that we've given too much value to that one thing. So it's okay that you feel the pinch. So what I'm going to say, to everyone who's listening today, the truth is that you're going to feel those pinches at different times and for different people. Sometimes the people who are closest to you, it may be easier. Some people that are you're competing with, Carson wasn't excited for just someone else on the team. He was excited for the person who took his place on the team, right? That's a different level on
right,
it.
Right.
And it's in that moment that when there's that pinch, then we have to take that back and say, Holy Spirit, show me. That's what Paul's talking about there. The renewing of our mind. It actually, when my clothes are dirty, I don't complain that my clothes are dirty. I take them to the washing machine. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. So we have to recognize that. When we recognize there's things in us that are dirty, I don't complain about the fact that they're dirty. I'm not a bad person because they're dirty. It's part of my human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I actually then have to take to the washing machine, which is the Word of God, the will of God, the ways of God. And how do I do that? I submit it to the Holy Spirit of God.
It's beautiful to work in a washing machine analogy.
That was
I
really
love
good.
It.
That was really good. One of the things that I think helped Carson and Nick with their relationship was the culture that had been developed in the Eagles locker room, even going back to the previous season. Right. And so when they're in that culture, kind of going with your washing machine, analogy there, you have to develop that culture and you have to know where the laundromat is. You have to know
Correct.
Where the washing machine is. You have to have the detergent. You have to have the tools readily available. And I think it created that culture for him to step into and accept God's will with the injury, Nick's success, much better than it would have been if there was animosity between players, guys weren't backing each other up. One of their mottos this past season was next man up.
Absolutely.
And they were unified
Absolutely.
In that. And I think we can translate that to our work environment. Are we unified at work? We can take that to our families. Are we unified as parents that
Yes.
are raising kids together? So it's hard to teach your kids to be gracious and to think, put other people first
when
you're not doing
it
with your wife or your husband.
What
right?
you just said is interesting because as a husband who has daughters, do you get jealous when your daughters start to show maybe some more love to their mom, to Chris, or want to be with them more than they want to be with you? Or, because that's a real moment. It's easy. We should be happy that our kids even want to spend time with us at all. And yet the question still inside is like, ooh.
You may be talking about a specific Facebook video that was recently published on, between my wife.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to stir the pot or anything.
No,
but,
I think my wife and I think we are generally thrilled the fact that our girls love their parents and we want to show unity. And sometimes, Chris and I may be in a disagreement, but we still understand that we want to show that we can ask for forgiveness and that we have been angry towards each other, but we were wrong in that situation. The situation I was talking about was Lucy was sitting on my chest and Chris said, "Do you want mommy to take you to bed?" And she's like, "No, dada," right? And there's a little bit of a victory like, that's right,
absolutely.
He wants dada
yeah.
to take me to bed. And sometimes it hurts a little bit, especially if Chris has spent all day with her. And she's like, "Well, I put all this work in, all of a sudden she just leaves me and disregards me." And I think that translates to a lot of things that we maybe do in the workplace. "Man, I put all my heart and soul into this company. I did everything I possibly could, and you passed right over me for this other guy, for the new guy that's here." And there's some jealousy that may develop in that situation.
I would say that we do that with God. I think we do, if we are very honest with ourselves, and things that we usually don't talk about outwardly, but there's such an expectation. "God, I've placed all this work. I've given up so much. Look how I've changed. Look what I've done. And therefore, my life should look like this." And because I think we've bought into the lie that Christianity is about making our life happy rather than making our life whole. And God is much more into our wholeness than our happiness. And there are a lot of times that he has to be the refining fire rather than the giving friend. And it makes it difficult.
You know, Kyle, you said something earlier about just practicing generosity.
Yeah.
I think some of us are gifted with that at different levels. Some of us, it's a little bit easier to do that's just innate. And other people really have to work for it. And I see that difference. I think my wife's very generous. And I think she's taught me how to be more generous and think of others in a much better way. Give you an example. I think that my one daughter, Aubrey, who is 7, she just has such a generous spirit. My other daughter, Gracie, who's 14 years old, she attended her Phillies game the other night, and she lost about $40. It fell out of her wallet.
Just fell out, huh?
That's a big deal.
She had,
when you're a teenager, right? I know.
She had it in the wrong spot. She had it in the iPhone area.
Oh, yeah.
And she came home, and I was like, she's like, Dad, I lost $40. And I'm like, how could you do that, right?
Just hand her 50 you know, right there.
But you say, that happens. How are you going to deal with it?
Right.
But this morning, I hear that Aubrey's sitting at the breakfast table. Gracie turns around. She's like, I lost all my money last night. And Aubrey immediately, without even hesitating, I'll give you some of my money.
Love it.
And I was just
love
like, wow. And that is not because I'm a great parent. You know,
it's
the exact opposite.
It's all Chris right there.
She has that genuine spirit. I think that my other kids potentially could be, well, she's the giving one, and I'm not.
Yes.
And they find that she has that identity, and that's a really good thing to have, and I'm lacking that. And so they could get jealous of it.
Yes.
Or they could say, wow, that's really great she has that. I want to work towards being more like that.
Absolutely right.
But I think some people are more generous. That's a gift that they have. But it is something to aspire to.
Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. But that doesn't mean give, right? Give because, hey, if I give, I'm going to get more. A lot of people may misinterpret that and be like, yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to give $500 to this foundation or I'm going to tithe this much or I'm going to do this because ultimately it's going to come back to me. Again, we go back to God knows your heart.
Yeah, it's not a formula.
He knows what you're doing. He knows where it's coming from. It's not about doing it so your expectation is to receive. It's about doing it willingly from within, from your heart, and wanting to be generous, wanting to share, wanting to be happy for someone else, wanting to show them sheer joy. And I got to say to you guys both, I do a lot of things, and a lot of times, you know, I've written a book, I've got this, I can't, whatever it is. You both are genuinely happy for the successes that I've had, and I'm not used to that. In the profession that I'm in, and I'm not used to people surrounding me, people that I do life with, being happy. There's your family, of course, in your inner circle there, but I'm not used to other people genuinely being happy for me. So I want to thank you guys both on the air because I truly appreciate that. I see, like, you know, you guys really do that, and it's a cool thing. And another person that we've always been genuinely happy for is Carson things that he's doing.
Yep.
And in that interview that we talked about there, where I had that opportunity to interview him, was at the AO1 Foundation's inaugural charity softball event. And you were there, Pastor Kyle. And it was a beautiful, like, to have 25,000 people,
incredible
right,
day.
Come out to Citizens Bank Park to see this when the Phillies weren't drawing that much, independent race weren't drawing that much at certain times, to have those people come out there and to have all of that happen. And one of the questions I asked him about was going to Haiti for a second time. Yeah. He went the first time 2 years ago. You guys went back again. You were on that trip. And the first year Jordan Matthews goes with him, the second time Rashard Davis, Nate Sudfeld goes with him as well. Zach Ertz goes with him.
Yep.
Just tell us a little bit about that trip. And he's talked to us before about how it really changed his perspective. What did you see?
Yeah, you know, I loved the clash of culture, you know, when you step off of a plane into a place, a developing world where, you know, poverty has a taste, it has a smell, mm-hmm. It has an environment that you can't get just by reading a book or seeing it on TV. And so when you immerse yourself in that and then you have to come into this personal collision inside of yourself. These people are happy and they have nothing. I have everything and I'm worried. I'm stressed out. They struggle to find food, clean water. They're living in huts. Many of them are still living in the tents that they built as as relief houses after the earthquake, which was in 2010. So I mean, they've been living in just a tent for 8 years, and yet there was such a community. There was relationship, and it really does challenge you. It challenges your heart to say, you know, really, where's my security come from? Where's my happiness come from? Where's my joy? And again, Rob, you know, this stuff that we've talked about before, the difference between happiness and joy. And so often we are happy because we obtain something new, and the newness factor makes us happy. But it's not sustainable. It's not sustained joy. But when you actually come to this place where you can find joy in Christ, regardless of anything, of your circumstances. And that's what that, and it changed Carson. It changed Zach. It changed all the guys. You know, I know Nate has been on, is part of his family, right, does mission work around the world. But to see what he's doing, and I think the beautiful thing that, that will tie in here as well is that, what Zach and what Carson has have done when they came home is that they are not just doing this overseas. They are committed 100% to doing it in the locker room, to do it in their right, communities, to live this thing out loud. And they're doing stuff that many people don't even know behind the scenes that are making real difference in real people's lives.
You know, one of the big things about going to a third world country, and there's a lot of adoption options that you, yes, have, or sponsoring children. Yes. Having gone to Haiti a couple times also, you would think that you would take those kids and you say, man, if I just took them home with me, I could give them a much better life, and then they would be happy. And I remember having that conversation with some missionaries that were there, and they turned around and they were like, they're happy right now.
Exactly.
You're going to ruin them if, yes, you take them and put them in the American culture and take away everything that they have here. So happiness isn't based on our circumstances.
Absolutely.
You can be in Haiti in a tent and be extremely happy and joyful. And that's what you see. Totally, that's what you, yeah, see with those people.
When, yeah, you're not exposed to all the materialism and everything else here, that you're not craving that. You're not starving for that. You're not wanting that. And the really cool thing what they're doing is and he's building the field there so, yeah, these guys can play on the field. Mm-hmm. That's a really neat thing that they're doing. But the other thing is, and we talked about the new venture between AO1 Foundation and the Connect Church, your church, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, also a campus in Philadelphia, and a, yep, campus up north in Randolph, New Jersey, too, as well, is the food truck, Thy Kingdom Crumb.
That's an awesome name.
If you want to tell us a little bit about that, and we're getting ready for the debut, aren't,
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we're rolling it out. It's so exciting. Yeah, the truth is, guys, it's really just about demonstrating the love of God by giving away free food to people. And you know, it's not just people who struggle with food insecurity, although we'll do that as well. It's everyone. Everyone needs love. Everyone needs to feel seen and valued. And so that's what we're doing. And Carson and AO1 has been a great sponsor. The food truck rolls out soon. We've had tons of sponsors in the community come be a part of it. And for us, it's just,
you can give them a shout out. Give them a shout out.
Restelli's Market, Market Fresh, Acme, Coke, Bimbo Bakeries, who runs so many of the products that we love, like Enemans, hallelujah. There's just really great stuff out there. So many sponsors that are coming in. But, you know, the truth is, for us, it's just about food is the means, Jesus is the end. You know, we talk about it at our church all the time. This is a mobile campus. We want to give away Jesus. And how do we do it? We want to get into the community. We're going to pray for people. We're going to give food away to people. We're going to help elevate community. And that's just our opportunity. It's what the gospel for us is all about.
I love the fact that you say that it's not just for those that are impoverished or those that are needy. It's for anybody.
Everybody.
Anybody can come up and get blessed by just having something to eat.
Absolutely. I mean, look.
I think that's a great philosophy. Why
be too busy one day, right? You're too busy. You're a doctor, as you guys said, absolutely, doctors, nurses.
Why does the nurse coming off a 12-hour, yeah, shift not deserve to be loved, seen, and valued? You know, just like the person who is working in the warehouse all day or, mm-hmm, or the single mom who's struggling on food stamps. All of them need to feel loved and approved. And so for us, it's just an opportunity to be able to say, and this is at Carson's heart, I will tell you this, every meeting that we've had with every sponsor, after our meeting, Carson will ask us one question. Did you tell them it's about Jesus? It's the only thing he cares about. Did you tell them it's about Jesus? Because there are some sponsors that say, hey, if you're going to do that, it's not what we're about, which we appreciate because that's not what we're about. We're about, right, making sure it's about Jesus. But you know, he is a phenomenal quarterback, but he is a phenomenal worshiper of Jesus. And he is a disciple first and an athlete second.
Amen. And when we come back, Doug, you can give us a little bit of that expertise on the knee injury, ACL, LCL. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever audiobooks are sold.
And we're back, Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob, Doug, and Pastor Kyle. Doug, let them know where they could follow us, catch up to past episodes, previous shows, and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are our social media accounts at Faith on the Field. A great place to be able to watch for upcoming book signing events that are going to be happening in the area. September 9th will be at Sharptown North Church in Swedesboro, New Jersey. And you also have one coming up. At Giant?
Yeah, September 4th, I will be at the Giant in North Wales, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. So I'll be at the Giant store on September 4th at 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. signing copies of Birds of Prey. And the event at Sharptown North is what time?
11:30 to 1. And we have more scheduled, so keep an eye on our social media accounts for that. Also, all past episodes are on faithinthefieldshow.com. Which also keep an eye out because we're going to be launching some apparel, and you'll also be able to get Birds of Prey from faithinthefieldshow.com. So that'll be real soon.
Awesome. And since this is our last episode before the NFL season officially kicks off with the Eagles hosting the Atlanta Falcons in a playoff rematch on Thursday night, September 6th at the Link, after they raise the banner, we should give out our Super Bowl predictions, but we're not going to pick individual games as the season goes on. But since it's the NFL opener, it's the season opener, let's give a quick prediction on the Eagles-Falcons Thursday night game. And since I'm putting you two on the spot, I'll go first. I think this is a game that setups very badly for the Eagles. You've seen teams last year, the Patriots win the Super Bowl, their home opener, their season opener, they get blown out by the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was Kareem Hunt's coming out game.
Yeah,
this is going to be a tough game for the Eagles. The Falcons know them very well. They were really a Julio Jones catch the end zone.
They were way closer than anyone else.
And if the offensive coordinator doesn't take away half the field and have Matt Ryan roll out, he took away all of his quarterback's full field options, had him roll out. I mean, that was a bad play call. Fortunately for the Eagles and all the Eagle fans out there, it worked out that way.
Yeah.
They went on that magical ride. It sounds like you know where I'm going with this. I think it's going to be – it's not a bad thing, and I know you want to win every game. I think the Eagles will lose their home opener, their season opener, to the Falcons.
I'm going to absolutely disagree with you. I think that with the preseason the way it was, I think we – start the season and we turn everything around, and we do that as the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think that not predicting that Carson's going to come back and all of a sudden light the world on fire, although that if he does and comes in and throws three touchdowns, the city's going to go crazy. But
you're going to have to tell us about the knee injury though. How do you think within that 9 months it's doable?
Yeah, we get glimpses. The media starts playing some videos of him doing some workouts. You really want it to be about 12 months. It all comes down to how the doctor put it in. So when you have the reconstruction, how it's placed in there, obviously it's a patella tendon, so there's two bony ends, so it's able to absorb a lot quicker than if it was a different graft, like a hamstring that they may use. To compare him to your boy Tom Brady, right?
My boy.
He's your boy. But
he's the greatest ever.
you know, he tore his ACL and he came back the next season, but that was a full 12 months because he tore it in the first game of the season. Now Carson tore his in December, and so there's a couple months in between there. Have guys come back in 9 months to play? Yeah. I think the brace helps. I think that that is a stabilizer to take some stresses off. But just seeing some brief videos, I mean, he looks like he's moving well. I think his arm strength's getting really well. He looks like he's bulked up a little bit, put on some more muscle. So is it going to make any difference from playing next week compared to playing 3 weeks down the road? Now, he hasn't gotten his reps. He hasn't gotten in real game action as far as not playing any preseason. Could he get hurt again? Absolutely. There could be a, you know, the play that he originally got hurt on was a, kind of a fluke, right? So could he get hurt? Possibly. He may develop some other soreness, other areas that potentially would create some issues, but I think he's good to go.
So they win the game and he's good to go. Pastor Kyle?
I would just say too, Doug, that he it's not his plant leg, which helps from quarterback position. That definitely helps.
Quarterback expert, too.
Well, not an expert, but definitely understand a little bit. I would simply say I think I agree with your how you laid it out, Rob. I would just say I think the Eagles have a shot on opening day to upset the Falcons.
He's playing middle ground here.
Upset the Falcons.
All right. Now, real quick, Super Bowl prediction. Doug, who's in it and who wins it?
So if I don't go with an Eagles pick, I'm going to go Rams and Chiefs.
Rams, and you could go with the Eagles. Tell us your heart.
All right, well, the Eagles overall, but if not, the Rams and the
Rams
Chiefs.
Rams and Chiefs. Who wins?
Rams.
Pastor Kyle.
I'm going to say an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl. Ooh. A little Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Philadelphia Eagles and the Birds.
And for as long as Tom Brady's still in the NFL, I'm going to go Patriots over the New Orleans Saints. Thank you for watching Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Mahdi reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.